Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You never really know someone until you find out what they've buried. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Another big point of contention in the case against Karen Reed is the cellular phone data, the CellBright data that's been extracted. There's in question about the time of the "How's Long to Die in Cold" that Jennifer McCabe had texted out. The defense saying, well, this happened at 2-something right after she was looking up basketball information. Not really making a lot of sense as to why she would be Googling that at that time, unless she knew that John O'Keefe was dying in her front yard and there was just a big altercation and she's looking up basketball information to calmly go to bed right next to "How's Long to Die in Cold." CellBright person comes in, takes a look at it and says, oh, you're misinterpreting this. You're not reading this correctly. Here's how this actually works. Yes, the system, it looks like that on the surface, but that's kind of behind the scenes stuff. So let me explain to you, here's what it actually is. And then they have it, but they don't want to believe that because it doesn't work with their narrative. And that's what's being debated right now. Where does this go from here when you have one, their expert saying, no, it means this, but the actual CellBright person saying, no, here's really what it is. We're the company that you're using for this, so our data does tend to be, you know, the end-all be-all because we're telling you how to read it.
Well, you know, Tony, both on the dog bites and the CellBright information, they have really doubled down. I really thought this is a brand new trial. They're going to have brand new jurors. They're going to have new rulings. We're seeing this all play out again. And there's no reason, really, for them to even go down this track. Yeah. Why try to prove that a dog was involved? Does it really matter? Why not just try to prove that the ATF agent and the cop and the 17-year-old beat him to death? Mm-hmm. You know, I guess you have to, you know, explain these marks, but why couldn't those have been scratches? I mean, because the canine DNA wasn't there is what I'm saying. I've just been shocked that they stayed on the road that they've stayed on, but they're doubling down on it. And that's what they're doing with the CellBright information too. You have the person that is responsible for the program who knows it better than anyone who is testifying on behalf of the CW. You have the other expert is going to be called into question and we're going to see another hearing regarding him because, and I think it's going to fall apart. He already admitted on the stand previously, it was quite a moment in the first trial. I guess they have changed that or words to that effect, where he really says he just didn't know about that situation. So I think they're in big trouble on that. Yeah. To me, it's already been decided, Tony. That is when she opened the window. Mm-hmm. That was the wall file that was created at 227 when she's laying in bed, hanging out. Remember, she's big into basketball. Her children play basketball. And of course, it made sense to me. You're going to bed, you're Googling scores, you're looking at what your daughters are going to be facing, I guess, you know, mm-hmm. in the surrounding towns. All that made so much sense. Or let's see, somebody just got murdered, at the party you were at, and you're part of a big cover up. So you're looking at basketball scores.
Yeah, it just, there's no logical reason for it. There's a lot of logic in the other side of the story that doesn't seem to be one to be accepted at all. But I guess what else are they going to say? I think there are other things like, I was not intentional. I hit him. Or the odds look like I hit him. Every piece of data kind of shows that I hit him. I even said I hit him. But not murder. What are we doing here? I mean, Karen Reed just continues to double down on these things, and it just doesn't feel very strong, but it was strong enough to get a mistrial. Are they just hoping to do the exact same thing again this time and just inject a lot of confusion to the jury and hope that there's enough on there that are not bright enough to understand the difference between fact and fiction?
Yeah, absolutely. But I wish this judge in this case would do what the Delphi judge did, Judge Gold, in that case against Richard Allen. She just said, across the board, even though you have an FBI agent that wrote a probable cause affidavit and you had a guy contacting them, not to digress, but I'm just saying that isn't speculation, that isn't conjecture, that isn't rumor, mm-hmm. which is what should eliminate a third party defense. We have exactly that, those parameters here in Karen Reed. But the judge didn't exclude it. She let it come in, as she called it, organically through testimony. I hope in this trial they do a better job showing this is just far-fetched conjecture and that no third-party defense is allowed, period.
Yeah, I mean, it's all going to depend how they come in with the prosecution on this. If they open the door to it and try to explain it all before it's even been presented, they're going to have to discuss the third-party defense. But if they're just going to come in, come out, were you there at this time? Yes, no, no further questions. That would help a lot. I think, you know, sometimes, a lot of times, less is more. And maybe that will be the strategy on the part of the prosecution this round.
Well, I hope so. But Judge Cannone could just say, there will be no mention of Chloe, no mention of this third party defense that he was murdered in that house, because mm-hmm. there's not one iota of evidence. We don't have blood. We don't have DNA. We don't have hair. We don't have him being dragged across the lawn. We don't have even one iota of evidence that he entered the house. Mm-hmm. So because of that, this is conjecture, rumor, speculation. This is not based on fact. We're not allowing it, period. That's what should happen, in my opinion.
That's what should happen, but is that what's going to happen?
Well, the CW sure is spending a lot of money counting on that not happening.
Yeah. It's going to be fascinating. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Let's be honest. Nothing kills the thrill of a good murder mystery like a commercial for laundry detergent. It's like someone slapping a closed sign on your favorite dive bar. But you're not here for that, are you? You're here for the good stuff. So ditch the ads and upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get your crime straight. No chaser. Commercial free with extended interviews and early access. It's like getting the bartender's special when the bar's already closed. Search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and drink it all in.